Today on Straight Talk Africa, Dr. Riek Machar is back in the South Sudanese capital Juba as part of the new government of national unity. Its goal is to end the war and restore peace and stability in the world's newest nation. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, April 27th. I am Shaka Salih.
Hello, Shaka, and hello to all of our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Ayan Bior, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll talk about the significance of the return to Juba of former rebel leader Riek Machar as a major step towards implementing the recent peace accord with the government of South Sudan.
And coming up later in our STA inbox, our audience has weighed in on our topic through your emails and Facebook comments. We'll reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
The political drama between the government of South Sudan and opposition leader Riek Machar is over, at least for now. My colleague Paul Sisco has more.
Former rebel leader Riek Machar arrived at Juba International Airport Tuesday and a short time later was sworn in as the first vice president of South Sudan. President Salva Kiir welcomed the first vice president. It said his return marks the beginning of the road to peace and the return of stability to the people of South Sudan.
All of us who are stakeholders have the collective responsibility to make sure that we cooperate and work together as one team, so that we return our country and people to the peaceful coexistence.
Now, the difficult task of forming a full and complete transitional government of national unity begins.
I wish that the security situation would be stabilized in the shortest possible time, now that we are just about to form the transitional government of national unity.
Machar's arrival in Juba came after several delays over what was said to be the size and weaponry of his security forces. On Monday, Machar's chief of staff, Simon Gottwich-Dewell, arrived in Juba with more than 100 troops and chants of, "We are one Sudan." The United Nations, the United States, and the two sides involved in the dispute have all acknowledged significant unresolved issues as the parties proceed with full implementation of the Unity Government Agreement. U.S. Special Envoy to South Sudan, Donald Booth.
So this is a first step. We still need the cabinet to be sworn in for the formal launching of the transitional government of national unity. But that transitional government is really the mechanism that was agreed upon in the peace agreement to implement the reform elements of the peace agreement and to ensure that peace is returned to South Sudan.
The conflict erupted when Machar was accused by President Kiir of attempting a coup in 2014. 2 years of negotiations and several unsuccessful ceasefires followed. The heaviest fighting was in the northern oil-producing regions. Thousands of people have died, and nearly half the nation's citizens have been displaced. The UN has accused forces from both sides of gross human rights violations. The economy has been devastated, and aid agencies warn of a looming massive humanitarian catastrophe due to poor harvests and subsequent food shortages. Today, South Sudanese residents are rejoicing with caution.
I believe that reconciliation is very important, and I believe that once we achieve those, then we'll be able to progress as a nation.
In terms of the suffering of the peoples of South Sudan, it's going to change.
And the world is watching to see if President Kiir and Riek Machar can keep their promises to work together to bring lasting peace, stability, to a country that so desperately needs it. Paul Sisco, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Joining us live via Skype from VOA's East Africa Bureau in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, is John Tanza Mabuso himself, managing editor and host of VOA's South Sudan in Focus, a radio program. Good evening, John.
Good evening, Shaka Salih.
How are you?
I am terrific, as you normally say.
I'm glad that you can actually be terrific, but I wish, of course, you were hugely terrific. especially given that you were on the ground back in Juba when Riek Machar's plane touched down. What was the mood like? What was the immediate reaction from the people?
Well, the immediate reaction from the people was that peace has finally come home. People are rejoicing. People are saying this marks the end of suffering. Shaka Saleh, you must understand that the people of South Sudan are resilient. They have suffered so much during previous conflicts in the country. And so the arrival of Dr. Riek Machar to Juba was received as a sign of peace. In fact, some people were saying this marks the end of fighting in the country.
Did you sense anything that could probably tell you that you could see a sort of emerging chemistry between the two parties? Because there are a lot of critics who have actually been saying that there seems to be no trust between the two groups.
Well, listening to the speeches by the two leaders, that is President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Dr. Riek Machar, they had a reconciliatory tone for the first time. These two leaders have not been seeing each other eye to eye, but on that day when Machar was sworn in, President Salva Kiir said, "My brother has come home. We are ready to move this country forward and make sure that the people of South Sudan enjoy peace." That is a very rare statement that we have not heard for, you know, close to 2 years. All we have been hearing is blame games. You started the war, you know, the rhetorics between the two warring parties was very clear. Juba would say the war is imposed on them, and the SPLM in opposition will also say the war was imposed on them. And each side has been blaming the other for starting the war. But on that day, the tone was different. The tone was of welcoming. The tone was of reconciliation. It was a very, if you like, a statement of leadership from the two leaders.
You know, it's interesting that you emphasize the rhetoric. Of course, there are some people who will tell you it is one thing, of course, to walk the talk, but it is quite another, in fact, to walk the walk. Is there anything, frankly, on the ground, anything tangible, anything concrete that allows you to think that at the end of the day, these two parties are actually going to walk the walk?
They are going to walk the walk because the people that they lead are not living a dignified life. Life in Juba is very, very, very hard. People have no money. People are struggling to put food on the table. In fact, there are very few people who can afford two meals a day. The majority are surviving on one meal or no meal. So the statement, the assurance from the leaders that they are ready to move forward and move the country from all the crises is, if you like, a welcoming news to the majority of people who have been struggling all this time. And it's not about Juba only. It's about all the 10 states and, if you like, the 28 states that were created later. People are really, really suffering. I mean, I've spoken to people from different walks of life. They tell me, "John, you're lucky that you are staying in a hotel. You have meals on the table in the morning and evening." But some of us have that, they don't have that privilege, and we are praying that we don't get sick, because if we get sick, that's another problem.
You know, there was once a president here in the United States. His name was Ronald Reagan. During the Cold War, he once said, "Trust but verify." Just in case there are some second guesses in as far as the trust is concerned between the two parties, is there any particular person who can in fact act, any particular party, as a deterrent on the ground in Juba?
Well, that is going to be a huge task for whoever wants to spoil the mood, because right now the people of South Sudan have been very patient in a sense that with all the problems that they are experiencing, they have not gone to the streets to demonstrate, to say enough is enough, stop this war, come together, form a government of national unity. The people have been very patient. And so if you play with their patience, then you are playing with a time bomb. I think the two leaders have realized that it's time to come together and move the country forward, because the people have been silent for quite a long time. And you know, when somebody does not talk, you don't know what is in their minds. So it's there's a lot that the two leaders need to, you know, get from the mood of the people. They need to gauge from the chemistry of the people. Like when Dr. Riek Machar landed in Juba, security was very tight. I was not able to go to the airport because all the roads were blocked. I mean, you see soldiers and they tell you, you cannot go there. But people are saying, okay, tighten the security, let him come in, let him be sworn in, let him go to where he's supposed to go and stay. But what is very important is we want the government of national unity to be formed so that this suffering ends. That is a strong message that the two leaders took seriously.
You talk, of course, about how the people are doing the suffering. And, of course, you know as well as I do that there is a saying that when two elephants fight, it is the grass that is trampled upon. Do those people that you talk about who are doing the suffering, do they have an avenue? Do they have a way of expressing their difficulties, for example? Because the other two parties, each of them has an army.
Well, we have to take it in this context that South Sudan is what a lot of people told me is that it is a police state. I asked people, if you are suffering and if you are not able to put food on the table, what are you doing at home? You need to go on the streets. They told me that this is a militarized situation. You might go in the street and come back home in a coffin. So people are afraid to speak out their minds. People are afraid to express their feelings. But they are saying, since the two leaders who started the conflict have reconciled and they are sitting together and they are willing to move the country forward, let us see how they will do it. And we are watching them. That is what everybody is saying in Juba. We are watching them. We want an end to the conflict. This is just a quotation from people who I've spoken to, and they're saying they want an end to the conflict. They don't want to know how the government is going to be formed. They don't want to know who is going to be in that government, but they want peace. They want the country to come back to its dignified position. They want the economic crisis to end, because according to what a lot of people are telling me, all they need is they want to live a dignified life. They want to put food on the table for their families.
You know, there is a saying that a politician is a servant of the people, not their master, no matter how popular he or she may be. And indeed, you often hear politicians or leaders, or rulers for that matter, talking about how power belongs to the people. But in reality, at the end of the day, power belongs to certain powerful individuals.
Indeed, power belongs to the two leaders. That is President Salva Kiir and first Vice President Riek Machar. They wield the power, they call the shots. But at the end of the day, if you wield the power and call the shots, if you don't have the followings, the right followings, at the end of the day, Shaka Sali, this transitional period ends with an election. So it is upon the two leaders to, you know, watch their steps carefully, because at the end of the day, the people who are suffering today are the people who are going to be electorates tomorrow. They will need the votes of these people. So I think they are also, if you like, moving with a lot of caution.
Well, on that note, thank you so much, John, for interacting with us.
It's my pleasure.
You're most welcome. Now we'll pause for a short break, and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA South Sudan. And we are also on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart, and welcome back. Now joining us in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests, Garang Ding Akuong, the South Sudanese ambassador to the United States, and Ruth Muok Tang, SPROA, SPROM, in opposition representative to the United States. Well, gentlemen, of course, I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you once again on Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Mr. Sharon. Nice meeting you again, and thank you to be on your show again.
You're most welcome, and of course, I frankly have to say, or rather I'm tempted to say, congratulations to both of you.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111, and the U.S. country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately, Mr. Ambassador. Your immediate reaction. Riek is back in Juba. He's already been sworn in as the first vice president. How significant is that, in fact, in terms of the restoration of peace and stability in your country?
Yeah, thank you very much again. I think the arrival of Dr. Riek Machar to Juba and his swearing in as the first vice president is the beginning of a new era in the life and history of South Sudan. Let me quote President Salva Kiir when he said that the arrival of Dr. Riek back in South Sudan is the end of the war. Indeed, it should be the end of the war. We have been waiting for his arrival, and thank God that he arrived safely, and he has now taken up his post as the first vice president. And he is now in consultation with the president as to how to form the government of national unity, which will be tasked with the implementation of the peace agreement. The transitional government will be a government that will take us from the war era to peace era to the elections. So the people of South Sudan are rejoicing the arrival of Dr. Riek, and peace is going to prevail, is going to be sustained, and with the help of our partners, the trust and the confidence is going to be rebuilt again, because this is very, very, very essential. The chemistry in the two leaders is very essential, and then also the reconciliation and people coming together, peace in South Sudan is very essential for the next era.
Very interesting. What about you, Ruth? Beginning of a new era in the history of the South Sudan. Do you have reason to disagree, or do you in fact agree with the ambassador?
Thank you, Shaka, once again. There is no reason at all to disagree with the ambassador. You know, when I was watching some of the clip on YouTube about the reception that was given to Dr. Riek and the other team that came with him from Pagak, and seeing all the public coming out from the street of Juba and celebrating and shouting that it's the end of war and all this. So one could feel, you know, such kind of happiness for the peace to return back home. You know, our people suffer a lot for a long time. They die of war, of hunger, of disease, and a lot of issues kill them. So now, if the peace come back home, there is no any single reason each and every one of us will say it is not happy. We are all happy, and I believe every South Sudanese is happy for what happened just yesterday. People are feeling hope. They are feeling that the peace will come home, and the economic that is being one of the bigger problems for the people of South Sudan, because if you look at the economic of South Sudan right now, the normal citizen, they are not getting even a food to eat, no water to drink. So what they expect the leadership of two parties to bring peace back home so that they can be working by their own to get their food for their children. And then they have to live their own life and be happy in their own country. So we are all very happy.
What are some of the most contentious issues that need to be immediately addressed in order to put a new government in place?
You know, some of the issues that need to be given immediate attention. Now, the two leaders, they promised the people of South Sudan that they are going to work together. The first thing I think they should do is, you know, there is a state of emergency that was declared in the state, in the three states of Greater Upper Nile region. That one need to be immediately lifted. And they have to release the prisoner of the war, wherever they are, in both sides. This is the first thing they have to do. And number two, they have to have a unified message for the peace and reconciliation for the people of South Sudan. And we have to also be serious about that message, because there are some people who can come in anyhow and preach their message that they want to preach. As we know very well, there are people who are not happy about the peace agreement, and we know them by name. And they have access even to the SSTV, which is the national TV of the government. And this is what is very important that they should do. Two leaders must caution everybody that everybody want to speak public, they must preach the word of peace and reconciliation, because this is needed, and it is seriously needed for the people of South Sudan to reconcile in order for us to have a conducive environment to live together, to work together as two parties also in the government. They need peace and reconciliation. These are the things that they need to do right now. And there are a lot of things that should be following.
Ambassador, of course, Garanga Kwong, you have, of course, a deal which has been signed by the two major principals. But in order for this deal to be implemented and to have a government in place, I think you have to somehow incorporate it under the South Sudanese constitution. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Doesn't it have to be incorporated into the constitution?
Yeah, terrific. I think the peace agreement has been signed by four parties, not two parties.
Right.
There are the...
That is correct. The other two parties.
Two parties, four parties agreement, right. And it witnessed by international regional bodies. The peace agreement is very important, and the provisions of the agreement say that the peace agreement is above the constitution.
Above?
Above the constitution.
Really?
Yes.
How can it possibly be above the constitution?
In terms of contradicting the provision of the agreement, mm-hmm. The provisions in the agreement are more powerful or surmountable than the provisions in the constitution.
At least for the next 30 months?
At least for the transitional period. So the agreement was incorporated into the constitution, recognized by the constitution, and is now a legitimate constitution.
But is it possible for that to happen without, for example, members of parliament, in fact, voting on it?
Yeah, it was tabled in parliament, and it was passed unanimously, no a single voice that dissented against the agreement. So the agreement is now legitimate in the constitution, and that is legitimate in every arena in South Sudan. So now it is the parties to the agreement should sit down and to operate the agreement. And to operate the agreement, it has already been started by appointing Dr. Riek Machar as the first vice president. That is one aspect.
So should we, for example, expect a cabinet and other important institutional positions to be, in fact, put into place in a couple of days?
Yes, once the executive is formed by the two, by the four signatories to the agreement, then the both parties to the agreement will go to the agreement and sequence the agreement. There are stages in which the agreement is going to be implemented. So the agreement is going to be implemented, and the institutions that are supposed to be established according to the agreement are going to be established according to the timetable that is enshrined in the agreement.
And once that happens, what happens to Ambassador Akong? Does he still retain a job?
My job is not addressing the agreement, and I'm a civil servant being appointed by the president, and it is the incumbent and the authority of the president to leave me in DC or relieve me from the post.
I see.
Yeah.
Do you agree with you?
Yeah, that is some correction that I want to make. Ambassador said that the peace agreement or the constitution was passed. The constitution was not passed yet. Of course, the peace agreement is a very powerful document above the constitution. I will agree with this. But there was a committee formed, constitutional committee, from both the signatory of the agreement, from the SPLM opposition, from the government, from the FD, from other political parties, to incorporate all the thing which are in peace agreement to the constitution. And that constitution will be passed when the transitional parliament is seated. They will sit
first. Of
which,
of course, you expect to be a part. Is that correct?
Of course, yes. Mm-hmm. And then they will pass what the committee have done, and they make it, they pass it into law, and then it becomes now the constitution.
It becomes the constitution.
Yeah, it is not yet passed.
And perhaps it becomes, in fact, the law of the land, the highest
exactly,
law of the land.
Exactly.
So what about the fact that when the deal was cut, there were only 10 states within the South Sudan, the Republic of South Sudan, and now you have 28 states which have been put into place by President Salva Kiir. What happens to that?
Chaka, I would say, you know, the 28 state issue is one of the thing also that need to be given attention by even the international community, because that is a violation of the peace agreement. That one is not inconsistent with the peace agreement. It was not there in the peace agreement. So it was done outside the peace agreement. Therefore, for us, we believe for the peace agreement to be implemented, the 28 state will be reversed because they are not in the peace agreement.
Very interesting. As you can see, obviously, there are some contentious issues here.
Let me come in. If you go to the agreement and read it from the first page to the last page, there is nothing mentioning that South Sudan is composed of 10 states. It is not in the agreement, nor 21 states or 30 states. So it is not enshrined in the agreement that we are signing the agreement. In the agreement, the South Sudan should be based on 10 states. It is not in the agreement.
What about that?
So the president and the government in place has a right to govern the country, to devolve the powers of and powers and authorities from the top to the bottom.
This is what the government has exercised.
This
is actually very interesting, because the idea of the 28 states or whatever apparently came from Riek Machar, and was rejected by President Salva Kiir. So what happened?
Let me make a better clarification briefly. The ambassador is saying that the government have a right to govern the country. You know, you don't govern the country without the constitution. The fact that the constitution said the South Sudan is composed of 10 states, not 28 states, is not a one-man job to do. It's not a president job. Parliament must sit. The Council of Ministers must sit.
and they have to discuss and deliberate on it and come up with the 28 state issue from the parliament. It is not a unilateral decision that could be made by the president. Yes, Dr. Riek have suggested. It was a suggestion. And when Dr. Riek said we want South Sudan to be based on 21 states, it was calculated because we have 21 British colonial districts which are bordered, demarcated, and delineated. They are very clear. There is no quarrel in it. Not only that, Dr. Riek did not say it like it is going to work. He said, this is our proposal. Let's table it on the peace agreement. Let's talk about it. Let the two-party or four-party talk about it. Let's agree on it. And the government say, no, we will not talk about it, and we don't even want to talk about it. So it was a suggestion. It was a proposal that was supposed to be discussed by all the party to the agreement, but the government refused.
We'll come to that later. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Ayen Bio. Take it away, Ayen.
Thanks, Shaka. And still to come, we'll reveal some of the fantastic feedback we received from you, our audience, through social media. But now, here's our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan. Our letter of the week comes from Yahya Ahmed Gumel, who writes, I think the best way to develop the country is for the two political adversaries to establish a sound and cordial relationship. Otherwise, the country will continue to be a theater of war without a visible solution in sight. Now is the time for President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar to bury their differences. Forgiveness is the best way to reconcile grievances and to develop a closer relationship.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call us collect and we'll pay for the call. Or call directs and we'll call you right back. Remember to keep your questions brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui-Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Ayen. Take it away again, Ayen.
Well, thanks again, Shaka. And we've received tremendous feedback in our STA inbox to this week's question. As we've mentioned, South Sudanese opposition leader Riek Machar returned to the capital on Tuesday and took the oath as the country's first vice president. This leads us to our question of the week, which asks, do you believe that Salva Kiir and Riek Machar will be able to establish a long-term working relationship after Machar is sworn in? Well, before we begin, I'd like to thank all of you for using all of our social media platforms to communicate with us. And another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOA South Sudan. And if you haven't yet, please do follow us at VOA Shaka. And speaking of, let's go to a tweet from Amos J41, who writes, the chances are 50-50 because it seems they are afraid of each other. The Sudanese must rescue their country and leave aside their differences. Well, let's go now to another comment from a Facebook fan, Martin Manuel Bugol from Kampala, Uganda, who writes, as far as I know, working with Riek Machar is difficult simply because he specializes in creating mistrust. It has happened before, and it is certainly going to happen again. My fellow South Sudanese citizens and the world at large, we need everlasting peace in order to restore our lost social fabric. Well, Shaka, the theme of lasting peace comes up a lot when speaking about South Sudan, but how we get there is a different question. So your take.
Interesting. Ambassador Akwong, your reaction.
Yeah, my reaction is that, these are the parties that have been in a war, protracted war for a long time. 2 years is a very long time in life of a human being. And the agreement has brought them together and brought South Sudanese together. So since they've signed the agreement, it is incumbent on the parties to work together. And the president yesterday said that he's ready to work with Riek Machar and is ready to work with the other partners in the region to implement the peace agreement. Yes, trust has been lost. We need to rebuild the trust again between the warring parties. And by Dr. Riek Machar going back and taking up his post, I think that is a sign of a new era that these two leaders will work together for a long time as people, as leaders of South Sudan. They will put the South Sudanese above their own personal ambitions, I'm sure, especially President Kiir. He has been a man of peace. He has worked for quite a long time to bring peace to South Sudan, and he has achieved it this time. So I think this time it is going to be a lasting peace and a lasting trust between the leaders.
But how do you respond to some critics who will say, wait a minute, what is it really that has changed this time around? Because frankly, they will say, it's just like what used to be in place more than 2 years ago, except that this time around, President Salva Kiir cannot fire his first vice president.
Yes, the agreement is very clear in those circumstances. It is very clear. And before that, there was not that kind of agreement between the two parties. It was a one party, and the problems started in the SPLM. So now this agreement brings the two parties to the executive together. The other issues, whether they are in SPLM or in governance, will have to be discussed throughout the transitional period. What is needed in South Sudan politics is people to dialogue, negotiate, conciliate, and come to compromise. Mm-hmm. So compromise, as it is in the agreement, is very important in the future. And knowing President Salva Kiir is a man that has been compromising for his life. So I'm sure it is this time is different, because the agreement is very clear. The roles of the president are clear. The roles of the vice president are clear. Roles of the institutions are clear. So I think it will work this time.
Are you any Toriwas?
Yes, let's go to another comment from a Facebook fan, Martin Nyalusi from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, who writes, I don't think Kiir and Machar will be able to build a long-term working relationship because they are both working for their own personal interests. They are not working for the South Sudanese people who are starving and dying because of hunger and war. And our last Facebook comment comes from Leverton James Lukodu Moga from Juba, South Sudan. He writes, it is all about respecting the signed agreement to resolve the conflict. We hope Kiir and Machar will make lasting peace for the South Sudanese people. Shaka, again, that theme of lasting peace, again, your take.
Very interesting. Reith, of course, your reaction. And I should also add here, by the way, that Ambassador, of course, Akuong rightly says that the deal was signed by four parties. But in fact, consistently, all we hear about are the two parties. And why? Perhaps because they are the ones, frankly, that count in town, because each of them has an army. They are the only two people that even share executive powers, correct?
Yeah, that is true. And of course, the peace agreement was signed by more than two parties. There are two main parties, the warring parties, the SPLM, to the SPLM in government and the SPLM in opposition, and the ABD, of course, part of the SPLM, and all the political parties, including the religious leader and civil society organization. So, but the main issue here is not about who signed the agreement, because the reason why, including even those stakeholders, is for South Sudan to have a lasting peace that each and every son and daughter of South Sudan
have a contribution. So our main issue here is peace has come home. And let everybody participate in bringing lasting peace to the people of South Sudan by preaching the message of peace and reconciliation. Our worry, my worry, is that the government, even though now they are talking like they say that we will implement the peace agreement, there are things, there are tangible things that show that there is a problem with the government. Juba is not even demilitarized as we are talking now, and it is part of the agreement, you know, that Juba must be demilitarized. All the armed forces will be taken out only what the security arrangement is required.
But that
one has not happened. Juba is not demilitarized.
So what is the role being played by former president of Botswana, Festus Mohaye, who is supposed to be in charge of that?
He can answer this question if he's now here in the studio, because I have a different opinion. We thought that they should be having power to pressure the government to respect the peace agreement. You know, but this is not happening. As we know now, Juba is full of military, is militarized to the maximum, and it is not in the peace agreement. The cantonment area now, the government is attacking everywhere in Western Equatoria and in Bahr el Ghazal. They are attacking every cantonment of the SPLM in opposition. The JMAC is not saying anything, and there are clear evidence. They do it daylight. They are violating it in front of the international community. Now, as we are talking, when the advance team go to Juba, actually the recent advance team before Dr. Riek, they were moving in the street of Juba preaching the message of peace. The government is arresting everybody, including in Bahr el Ghazal. People are arrested. People who are just preaching that.
Did they do that yesterday?
They didn't do it yesterday.
Of course, the
situation was very tense. You never know, maybe they have arrested some people.
We'll come back to that later. That's why I asked earlier about the issue of a deterrent force. Well, thanks again for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
It's a pleasure, Shaka, and that does it for today's social media segment. But the conversation continues online. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it is in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. And if you're a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. And be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. Or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV 2 Africa. And follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website. Or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week. Next week on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss Burundi's violence and security. Join host Shaka Sali, his panel of guests, and me, Ayen Bior, your social media reporter, as we talk about Burundi. That's next week on Straight Talk Africa.
Well, welcome back. And today, of course, we are talking about the significance of the return to Juba of former rebel leader Riek Machar, the major step towards implementing the recent peace accord with the government of South Sudan. Our distinguished guests are Garang Ding Akuong, the South Sudanese ambassador to the United States, and Ruth Muok Tang, SPROM in opposition, representative to the United States. Gentlemen, again, I have to say I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the
Thank
two
you.
Of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
Again.
You're most welcome. Now, I had the audacity to cut you short because there is no democracy in Studio 52. When the producer says go for a break, you have to go. Can you please pick up from where you left and conclude your point?
Yeah, my point was that you know, everybody needs peace agreement, and of course the opposition now, all the leadership have gone to Juba, and
it was a bit difficult as we have been following the event that it was happening, you know, delayment and postponement and not clearing the plight and all this kind of issue. But all in all, what we need is a peace. But that does not deny us of the concern that we have with the government, because if you don't respect what you sign, and then what do you expect from this? The people need peace. But people will not have peace when the two parties are not making peace. They can demand it, as you and John Tanza were talking about, how leverage do the people have to pressure the government, to pressure the two parties to bring them the peace. Mm. Now the peace maker are the government and the opposition. If these people are not in good working term, they don't respect the peace agreement, or one side is not respecting the peace agreement, when do you expect the peace to come? Because if today, and God forbid, nothing will happen again, if anything happens and people go back to war, the people will suffer again. What we want is the government to keep their word, to respect the term and the spirit of the agreement, to respect it, so all of us should move to implement the peace agreement. What happened is enough. We need to bring peace to the people of South Sudan.
And unite the people of South Sudan.
Exactly.
Ambassador Akuwong, of course, frankly, you should be able to understand when people are a bit skeptical, especially in view of the fact that this deal was signed in August 2015. It was supposed to be implemented after 90 days. Can you believe how long it has taken for Riek Machar to go back to Juba? More than 8 months.
Yeah, I understand. But before answering your question, let me make some comments. My friend here talked about the demilitarization of Juba. Mm-hmm. I think the government committed itself to demilitarize Juba. And if he had a chance, he would have seen the monitors going out checking the forces of the SPLA that were removed from Juba. A lot of them were removed from Juba, and they were verified. Mm-hmm. There is a mechanism in place, a high command from both parties, mm-hmm. that takes charge, takes complaints of the parties if mm-hmm. there are violations in the ceasefire or whatever it is. As we speak, that mechanism is working, and there are no complaints that the demilitarization has not been done. Now, if we speak of the demilitarization of Juba, yes, the government has committed itself. Mm-hmm. Why the other party is trying to bring heavy weapons to Juba, anti-tanks, anti-aircraft to Juba? Mm-hmm. And these are not in the agreement. The agreement says that the forces that will be deployed in Juba should have light machinery, light guns, personal rifles. But the other party is demanding us to accept heavy arms in Juba. And really, we accepted for 20 RPGs, another 20 from the heavy guns, and they brought to Juba.
And this
outside of Juba.
The
second thing is about the cantonment. In the agreement says that the cantonment would be in the Greater Upper Nile. That is the agreement. Now, they're talking about the cantonment outside Upper Nile. Okay, if the forces that are in other places in South Sudan, for instance, in Greater Equatoria, why are they still fighting when we have signed a peace agreement? Why doesn't Riek Machar prevail on those forces that are shooting us, shooting the government, killing the civilians? If they're part of their forces, why are they not abiding by the agreement?
We
have demilitarized Juba, and there is no cantonment in the other parties apart from Greater Upper Nile. This is an agreement.
We'll come back to that later. Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Tafa from Ghana. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Hello, Chaka. Good evening.
You're terrific. How are you today?
I'm good, Chaka. How are you too?
You're terrific. What is your question, Tafa?
Chaka, quick question to Ambassador. He talked about everyone being brought to Juba, which will not allow. But question is that what weapons are they not to the South Sudanese soldiers who deserted over the former vice president? That is my first question. Shaka, a few months ago, I watched the of thousands of Sudanese
refugees
who they move.
I'm afraid.
I'm afraid the
line is not very good, Tafa. Hello.
Hello.
I'm afraid the line is not good, Tafa. I'm afraid. Huh? I'm afraid. Let's go to Sam from Uganda. Good evening, Sam. You're most welcome straight to Africa.
Good evening, Dungu Shaka. How are you?
You're really terrific, Dungu Sam. How are you today?
I'm very happy to see Vice President Machar back to Juba. Now, I go to Ambassador Kwong. Ambassador Kwong, for your information, the American Constitution, through which President Obama is respecting, is, if I may quote from my archives, 200 years old. And its ingredients are strong and above the Senate and the American Congress. Then how come that the peace agreement in Southern Sudan is above the Constitution of Southern Sudan? What will happen to all the foreign troops that may be in Juba? Will they be demobilized and sent back to their respective countries? Thank you very much, Ambassador, and thank you, Shaka.
Thank you very much. Let's go back to West Africa. Good evening, Patrick from Nigeria. You're most welcome straight to Talk Africa.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka. Good evening, our guest.
You're really terrific.
That's Patrick Okra for Inarutuku, Nigeria. Yeah, honestly speaking, Mr. Shaka and our guest, I'm very happy that this Mashar is back in South Sudan. The vice president and the president should work together for progress in South Sudan, for development in South Sudan. And my question to our ambassador, Your Excellency, what is the sharing formula in this unity government? Is it 50-50 or 40-60? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Still in Nigeria, Uba, you're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Oh, good evening, Tata.
Terrific. How are you today, Uba?
Fine, sir. It's Buba Umar Yaza from Kaduna, Nigeria.
Thank you very much, Buba.
Yeah, Ishaka, what I wanted to know is, do you think Silver Steel is willing to accept Rick Marshall, considering, quote in quote, the military, that is guerrilla to Silver Steel, to Rick Marshall, and the military, government military to Silver Steel. Now, if you consider this, is, are they willing to harmonize the military of this thing, irrespective of the mechanism that is being put in place? Thank you very much, and
stay blessed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's all yours.
Yeah, thank you very much, Shaka. Thank you very much. And I thank your callers from different parts of Africa, especially from West Africa and Central Africa. Let me just go quickly through the questions. The first caller who said that...
Tafa from Ghana.
Yeah, that the soldiers who are coming in with the heavy weapons are ex-soldiers from South Sudan who defected. Yes, some of them are ex-soldiers from South Sudan. Some of them are newly recruited people who joined the rebellion. But we are saying that according to the provisions of the agreement, Juba should be demilitarized. We have accepted it as the government, and the rebels have accepted it. But we wonder why the rebels are insisting in coming into Juba with heavy weapons.
This is, in fact, a question that need...
Yeah, it will go to him. So this is my first take. The second is that my brother who said that why the agreement is above the Constitution.
From Uganda.
I think that has been a practice. When we signed the CPA in 2005, CPA was also above the Sudan...
It superseded the Sudan Constitution.
Mm. So people took that experience and brought it to South Sudan. So for the comfortability of the parties, and especially the opposition, we have accepted. But in normal circumstances, yes, he's right. There shouldn't be any agreement that is above the Constitution.
But
the Constitution
should be above. These are not normal circumstances.
These are different circumstances. That is what I'm saying. Yes, the sharing in the cabinet, yes, it is clear that the cabinet is going to be formed with 30 ministers, the President Kiir will have from his side
16
ministers, Dr. Riek Machar, 10 ministers, and other two parts, two.
Yeah.
So this is the composition of the cabinet. Yeah, with the last question, I would say that President Kiir will accept to work with Riek Machar. Yes, it is obvious.
There
is no choice. This is what this agreement says.
Accepted,
and for the sake of the people of South Sudan, we accept it to work with Riek Machar to be our second partner in the agreement, because we are the senior partner, they are the second partner. But we don't look at the agreement on that, who is the winner and who is the loser. The winner are the people of South Sudan, not the President Kiir or Dr. Riek Machar or anybody else. This is just what
Let's
I want to say.
So.
Thank you.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, thank you very much, Shaka. I need to go back a little
bit. Does the agreement allow you to bring in heavy weapons? Was that part of the
First of all, there is no heavy weapon. You know, when you talk about an armed forces, what do you mean? An armed force is supposed to have a Kalashnikov, RPG, and PKM, and all this kind of light. These are the light weapons that we are talking about.
I see.
And these are the only that SPLM has. They have nothing more than this. They don't have anti-air, anti-tank, and anti-air defense, and all this kind of issue. These are just makeup. And by the way, it is just a way of the government, because every time we reach a step of making a breakthrough, they will come up with a different thing.
Seeing
the signing of the peace agreement, Salva Kiir did not sign on the same day. They have to create some issue, reservation, and all this. So when Dr. Riek was trying to come in, they create some issue of clearing and all this kind of issue. There was nothing like that.
Unfortunately, the time happens not to be our best ally, but let me put this question to you. Are you concerned about statements made by a man called General Paul Malong, the chief of general staff of the Sudan People's Liberation Army, who said he cannot allow Dr. Riek Machar to be president of South Sudan for as long as he lives, and yet he was not even reprimanded by his boss, the president, Salva Kiir?
Shaka, this is a very big concern, because if a man like Paul Malong, who is in charge of the army, could say that, what will you expect from the peace agreement? Definitely, the guy is not for peace agreement, and he's still the head of the armed forces in the country.
Well,
so,
unfortunately, again, time is not our best ally. Before we go, we would be remiss not to mention Congolese rumba music legend Papa Wemba, who died Saturday after collapsing on stage in the Ivory Coast. The music legend was renowned as the king of Congolese rumba for the fusion of Cuban, African, and electronic rock that he pioneered in the 1970s. He was 66 years old. Among other things, Wemba was involved in the bands Zaiko Langa Langa and later Viva La Musica that reached worldwide audiences. He was also known for mixing traditional African music with Western rock. The Rumba King also worked with international stars such as former Genesis singer Peter Gabriel. May his soul rest in eternal peace. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Garang Ding Akuong, the Sudanese ambassador, the South Sudanese ambassador to the United States, and Ruth Muok Tang, SPLM in opposition representative to the United States. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next, and tomorrow morning's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beta, South Sudan, and please remember to keep the African hopes alive.